enlighten us. Communicate to us beyond language can do. Go beyond our limitations in teaching, in explanation, and even our capacity to hear. Speak to us by your Spirit. Minister deep within our soul. Impact us. Strengthen, O God. Comfort, release, heal, O Father. Open our eyes to see, to behold your glory and all that you have achieved in your Son Jesus, that we may know that you are with us. Not only now, but forever. Amen.
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 Faithful is the God that called you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm excited because I want to speak today to myself. And the tongue speaks to you.
Speak to yourself and sound to them.
My confidence is in God that I'm going to behold this word again this day and it will impact me. Let me announce something to you, that God is able to walk with you in spite of your unwillingness. And this message is specifically for someone here today. I want to show you that God works with unwilling people. It's important for you to know it. And that His grace is able to turn your unwillingness to faithfulness.
Amen.
And I'll show you the story of a man. That when you go through this story has a reason for you and I to learn from. And when you behold this story today, it will tell you one thing, that God will never give up on you. He has never given up on anything. I see a man in scripture whom the Bible celebrates, God celebrates. But God deliberately wrote down his encounter with him so you may know his beginning and behold his end. And you will know that indeed that the end of the Lord is good, is faithful, he keeps to his own. He never lets you go. I've heard that word repeatedly, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's in scriptures, two different words, but they speak about different aspects of your life. I will never leave you, and I will not forsake you. If you take the other side, it's to start with you and abandon you along the way. People do that sometimes. They can start with you, they can tell you, start. I'm there all the way, and along the line they tell you, sorry, I have to. Stop it. I can't continue. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not forsake you. I will not abandon you. I haven't started with you. God never starts a project and stop along the way. My message to you today is that the God that we serve is able to turn your unwillingness to a willing vessel. God's grace is given to us. Next point. Listen to this. God's grace is given, not by merit. God does not give his grace to those who merit it. That's what we get when we work in our office. When you are diligent, you are rewarded on merit. Your office will never reward mediocrity. You will be rewarded based on your performance. Unfortunately, God doesn't do that. God rewards those who cannot. Ah. Because if you can merit it, then it's not grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let it blow your mind. God does not reward you based on your merit. But remember, he has told us that all have sinned, come short. So there is no basis to even merit it. We already came short of it. What is this meant to tell you? It's to tell you that you must not listen to the voices that want to tell you you are not good enough, because you were never good enough, but God is good enough for you.
Amen.
When you continue to look at yourself and feel that because you failed in the past, you cannot walk with God any longer, you're listening to the voice of the wicked one. Because you were never good enough. God came for you. He said he came for those who could not heal themselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jeremiah 1:5 says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee, and before thou came forth out of the womb, I set you apart, and I ordained you to be a prophet." That's without merits. Hallelujah. Before you came, before you could do anything, I had a plan for you.
Yeah.
I had a purpose for you. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 16. "You have not chosen me." Is it there?
Yes.
"But I have chosen you."
Yes.
"You did." How about that thing? Somebody preached to me and I believed. I chose Jesus. I said, "Lord, you are my Savior." Well, scripture tells you that even the ability to believe is God's grace.
Amen. Yes.
Jesus said, "No one can come to me except the Father draws him."
Mm-hmm.
The ability to believe is God's grace in your life.
Yeah.
I chose you. And here is the point. If God chose you, he knew you. He knows all about you.
Amen.
And then if he chooses you, if he chose you by his grace, why would you want to disqualify yourself by your works?
Mm-hmm.
Listen. In your imperfection, God can work on perfection. God doesn't want you to continue in error, even if you are. He will take you from error into the truth. But you need to know that he is the one doing it. This is what the psalmist meant in Psalm 23 when he said, "He leads me for his righteousness' sake." A part of righteousness for his name's sake. He does it by himself. "I chose you. You have not chosen me. I did." Let that bring comfort to you at the start of the world. And I find this very interesting in the life of the man Moses. Let's read three scriptures. Deuteronomy 34, 10 to 12. I will read Numbers 12, 7, Hebrews 3, 2 and 5. These scriptures just celebrate the pages God used to celebrate the man Moses. Where's the first one? Deuteronomy 34. And it says of Moses, this is the end. And I'm going to take you to the beginning. Look at the end of Moses. "And there arose not a prophet since Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." The next verse. "In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord set him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh." This page celebrates, or even today, the man called Moses. There was no one like him.
Yeah.
In fact, when Moses was going to capture his greatness, maybe we don't know, he says, "A prophet like me will the Lord raise, and that will not come until Christ." Like me. Moses was exalted by God.
Amen.
Now, go to Numbers. Numbers 12, 7. And the last part says, "Who is faithful in all my house." This is the scripture for the man called Moses. The Bible said he was faithful in all the house of God. In all the work. I need to go to Hebrews. Because we don't have time, we need to just... This is the end of the story. We're going to go and read the beginning. "And he was likened also to the man Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
"Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of." The end of the life of Moses is that he was described as a faithful man. And you and I want to be like Moses. You want to be found faithful in all. Well, let me show you Deuteronomy chapter 2, that this is not how it all began. Deuteronomy chapter 2. So that's the end of the story of Moses. And that story tells me that God can make of you anything he wills, in spite of the challenges you might be going through right now. And this is the heart of God to you, because he wants you. So let's read the story. The children of Israel, oh, did I say Deuteronomy? Exodus, I hope. Sometimes. Exodus 23 to 25. The children of Israel were in bondage. And this place captured God's heart towards them. And the Bible said this, oh, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And the Bible said God was moved. That's me. The great part that I see in the last verse 25. Say God was moved. God had respect. God was concerned. God, in this case, captures God's emotion. Not his knowledge, because he has always known, but his thoughts towards them. And this is quite amazing to me, because many a times we go through situations in life and we are asking the question, is God there for me? Does God know? Now, the children of Israel were not aware of this, that God was moved on their behalf. But God was. And we are in situations sometimes where normally it feels like nobody is there for us. Look at this. Go to chapter 3, verse 7. And the Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Talking about God using every part of the human body that you can use to get information. Saying first, I have seen like one that have an eye. Second, he says, I have heard like one that uses hearing. And in his knowledge, he their sorrow. Say, for I know their sorrow, which is to experience what you are experiencing. I'm in your situation. I can feel what you're going through, even though the children of Israel at this point may not have seen it. Now, this compassion, instead of empathy towards the people, drew God to a man called Moses. So we know what was drawing God to Israel. God had compassion. God is moved by their tears and their pain. And then he comes on a man called Moses. The end of the call in chapter 3 and chapter 4 was that Moses told God, I don't want to do the work you have called me to do. Send another person. The Moses that the scripture described as faithful in this place told God, I don't want to do it. He was not willing. And why am I telling you that Moses was not willing? It's to tell you that at the beginning, you may not be willing, but God will not give up on you because his end must be achieved. The Bible says he works all things according to the purpose of his counsel. I want you to know that in your struggles and in your sense of feeling inadequate or unable, that God is present with you. And God himself is not disqualifying you. Moses gave 5 excuses in this chapter. Let's look at each one of those as we progress. Moses gave 5 excuses to God on why God should not call him. Remember what we started with. Faithful is the God that called you. And what I wanted to pick up today is about God's faithfulness, not really about Moses' excuses, but to show you that in spite of the excuses you may have been given in the past, God is committed to working out his will in you.
Amen.
He's not going to give up. And he's not about to give up. So, the first thing we see, Exodus 3:10 says, God having had compassion on the people, and in verse 9 he says, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian had oppressed them. Come now, this is the instruction to Moses. Therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is God's command. This is God's plan for Moses. But look at the first thing that happened in verse 11 that Moses said to God. Here's Moses' response. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go? At this point, Moses was not looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking at himself.
Yeah.
Yet God was talking to him. If you look at verse 6, the Bible says, when God appeared to him and told him that I am God, Moses hid his face. Then God spoke to him and he rejected his word. Listen, follow me. When God appeared to him and said, I am God, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses hid his face. He didn't want to see God. Then God gave him an instruction and he disobeyed. He disregarded that one. Who am I to go? And it shows us how sometimes our behavior, our conduct, hey, towards just the presence, when you say there was a move, is different from living the daily life by the word. You can have the move in church today. If you don't take the word along with you, you will be disobedient in your conduct. Even though you were there, you experienced it. What Moses expressed in verse 6 is almost like when you fall under the anointing. He heard God and he hid. But then God gave direct instruction. And that did not trigger the same sense. It didn't trigger the same commitment. There is a saying that it is the person who sends you the message you fear, not the one you want to deliver to. In this case, Moses was more afraid of the one God has said, I want to send you to, than the God who is leading him in the message. And this will happen to you and I. When the work God has committed to us, we're looking at ourselves, our ability, our resources, our capacity. So first, he looked at his status. He's a stranger among the Midianites. It looks at his capacity. He's a shepherd. It looks at his wealth. If you look at chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said he was leading the flock of his father-in-law. We don't even know if he's got his own. Let me read that again to you. Exodus 3, 1. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So we don't even know if he's got his own. Maybe he doesn't even have the wealth. So if Moses looked all around himself, he's got not much to confront a Pharaoh. And maybe that's what you see yourself. To confront the challenges of today and the message God has given you. But I need you to know that if God be for you, who indeed can be against you. So what did God do? God gave Moses sure promises. Exodus 3:12. This is God's response. This was God's response to Moses' fear. Who am I? Who am I to go? Look at his response. God did not look at his fear. God looks into his own word. Exodus 3:12. And he said, certainly I will be with you. That's a word of promise.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you the second word of promise. It's in verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And they shall hearken to your voice. So first thing God said, I will be with you. Secondly, the children of Israel will obey. Thirdly, in verse 21, 22, God says, I will grant the children of Israel favor even before the Egyptians. They will borrow silver and gold. Just so you know what I'm about to do. They will borrow silver and gold, and I will give abundant favor to them. What was Moses' response to all of this? Chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me. I found that very depressing. That's the response he gave. God said, I will be with you. God said, they will hear your voice. God said, I will give them favor. But what did Moses say? Moses went on his own tangent. He said, they will not believe me. Of course, they had asked him, what will I tell them if they ask the name of the God that sent me? In this chapter 3, God has said, I am sent you. But in spite of the fact that he now knows that I am sent to him, he went on to still respond to God, he will not believe. So what does it mean? It means first, certainly I will play with you. Moses does not believe that. That's what just happened. Verse 18, they will hear your voice. It means Moses did not believe it. Didn't pay attention to it. 21 and 22, I will give them favor. They will receive abundant blessing. Moses did not believe it. But remember, keep in mind, the end of the story was that he was a faithful one. That same Moses that was having that conversation, that couldn't find his feet, the end was that he was faithful. And what I'm saying to you today was that God, in spite of Moses' doubt, God remained present.
Amen.
He says, if we don't believe him, God cannot disbelieve himself. He has promised to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what did God do? God gave three other witnesses. Three great witnesses that will go with Moses to conquer again his fear, in spite of all this disbelief. Chapter 4, verse 2 to 4, God turned the rod to snake. Chapter 6 to 7, God turned a leprous hand and healed it. That's chapter 4, 6 to 7, chapter 4, verse 9, God turned water to blood. God said, the first two I have given you is sufficient. But in the event they don't believe you, this third one will work for you. Up to today, I like to don't stick to snake. I wish it would happen. I could turn maybe this mic to snake and pick it up. I thought that was powerful. To put your hand in your bosom and bring it out and it become leprous and put it back and get healed. I thought that was power to take water from the river and pour it on the floor and becomes blood and does not dry up. I thought that was powerful. Something you will run with. I say, Lord, oh my God. But what did Moses do? Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, I'm not eloquent. He raises another point of excuse. I'm not eloquent. I can speak, but God has to speak it to him. God did not complain. God was satisfied with what he was doing. But he raises another excuse. I'm not eloquent. I don't speak like others. And the Lord said to him, who made the mouth? Who made hearing? Who did all? Who made the dumb, the deaf, those who see, the blind? I'm not I, the Lord. And then God gave another promise. Verse 12. Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And what did Moses say finally? Next verse. Lord, I pray you, send someone else. Oh my God. That's about the 50 excuses that he was giving. Send someone else. So it wasn't about the name of God. It wasn't about the signs and miracles that God has shown you. It was actually a lot more about something that was deep rooted in his heart. Go to verse 19. And the Lord God said to Moses, go, return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought your life. There was a deep-rooted fear about going to Egypt. He ran away in fear for his life at the beginning, and he never let go of that fear. He would not go back to Egypt because he killed somebody, and he knows some people are waiting for him. And so before God, rather than coming clean and telling him what his fear was, he kept giving other excuses why he couldn't do the work of God. And we do that deep within sometimes. Maybe it may not be known to you. Maybe it wasn't known to Moses. Maybe Moses didn't even know that these were the things that God had to add to him. That look, those who seek your life are dead. They have been crucified in Christ Jesus. Those who seek your end, their end has come. The captive have been led captive. You are no longer a slave to that fear. But if you go back to verse 13, when he said to the Lord, Lord said someone else. Verse 14 says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. The anger of the Lord was not kindled when he gave all other excuses. When he gave the excuse, they will not listen to me. When he gave the excuse, whose name will I give? But take note, the anger of the Lord was said to be kindled after he said the Lord should send someone else. To that, God did not agree. That God has chosen you, chosen Moses. God is proving that when he picks a task, when he gives you a task, he's giving you the resources to fulfill it. I think that's why God didn't give up on Moses. Moses might not see his own. He may not see the ability within himself. He might not see himself as being capable. But I believe that when God gives you a task, he's giving you the resource to fulfill that task.
Amen.
That God does not lead you on a journey that he's not going to go with you. God does not put you into a situation that will test your faith beyond what you can be. So we see that God sees Moses' relationship and not his capacity. God was more interested in him trusting him than in the abilities that he possesses in himself. And this is my encouragement to you today again. That God that did not give up on Moses, in Christ have chosen never to give up on you. I think somebody will say amen.
Amen.
Yes. That God that did not give up on Moses. And the story of Moses, the rest is history. And that's why I read the end for you. He carried out the template.
Mm-hmm.
Not only he parted the Red Sea, he led the children of Israel with that same Lord of a shepherd that he didn't count to be worth anything. They won battle by lifting it up. God did many mortal miracles through Moses. The same miracle that going through his story right now may have made you wonder, did he actually went through that with God? I'm saying to you that in spite of your struggle with God,
God is faithful. And I think Moses would have sang one song, right? I mean, that's where. I think Moses would have sang, "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am living, I will sing of the goodness of God." Because I think that's exactly what happened to Moses. He went from struggling with fear to being faithful. He went from discovering that although he ran away from Egypt, he wasn't disqualified from the mission of releasing the children of Israel from bondage. He went from being a shepherd to shepherding the people, shepherding animals, to shepherding the people of God. And we see that in the life of Moses, even what Moses might have looked down on, for example, that staff that he used to lead his flock became the same staff he used to lead Israel. We see in scripture that that same Moses that didn't want to listen to God, pay attention to me, in spite of all this trouble, this is what God told him. "I give you your brother Aaron. He will be a mouthpiece unto you, unto Pharaoh. But you shall be a God to Aaron." God established Moses as a God. Aaron will never ask God for instruction. He must ask Moses. That same Moses that struggled, God said, "You will be a God to Aaron, because I will speak to you alone." And of course, it is of him that God was saying in that Numbers, that of all the prophets, "I speak by vision, by dreams, for my servant Moses, I speak with him face to face." That same Moses that couldn't see the potentials and the abilities, the resources of God in his life, that talked of himself as not worthy to stand before Pharaoh, was the very Moses that ended the reign of Pharaoh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I think sometimes you look too down on the grace of God that is upon you. You believe the grace of God that is upon you. But I want you to know that sufficient is the grace that is in you. Paul said, "When I'm weak,
yes,
I am strong." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads.